Oh, turn off.
Welcome back to the morning show. We're just having a great old time, and we've been talking about being waking up to the Feast of Trumpets.
So did you wake up?
I woke up. Wake up, little Susie. Wake up. Hey, we got someone on the air with us. Hopefully he's still with us, and we've had him on before. He's a wonderful, wise guy, and travels the world, able to bring in some perspective for us when it comes to understanding the Lord's will for us during these trying times.
Not doing a whole lot of world traveling right now, but doing some U.S. travel.
Yeah, probably, yeah, U.S. travel. Hey, George, are you there with us, sir?
I'm hanging out. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay.
Doing well.
Good.
It's good to hear your voice, sir. And Feast of Trumpets, we were talking about the blasts of the shofar horns, the king's coronation, the weeping, and even the spiritual slumber breaks. I don't know if you want to hear them or not, but we're going to give them to you. Tuck does this really great mouth sound. Are you ready, Tuck? Tukai. Tuka. Okay, ready? That's the king's coronation. Go.
Which one is that?
The long one.
The long one.
Yeah, come on. Yay!
Wow, that's really impressive, guys.
I've always been known for making noise.
So I'm glad we're waking you up today, George.
I'm awakened now.
I was going to say George strikes me as a guy who's pretty much always awake.
I think he is. His mind's always.
I have to tell you, that's why I grab hold of Shabbat, because I am like worn out by the time Shabbat comes, and I'm like, boom, I'm out.
Stay rest, right
really,
there.
It is really getting crazy. I think the last time we talked, I talked about the month of Elul, and I talked about the shakings. Little did I realize that we would be talking about, Hurricane Ida coming on the 16-year anniversary of Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
And who would have thought that New York and New Jersey would be hit with, you know, they had – you know, rains that haven't happened since the 1800s.
Right.
Who knew that we would, you know, be withdrawn out of Afghanistan, the quagmire that would happen in Afghanistan, all of the different situations. And the crazy thing is we're now at, you know, Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Teruah is actually the better term. But, the Feast of Trumpets, the amazing thing about trumpets, and most people don't realize that this is the only feast that's celebrated the first day of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a very key point to this, because the reason why it's a two-day event in Israel is because you have to mark the new month by the sighting of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because you couldn't tell what day, you couldn't tell if it was a 29-day month or a 30-day month until you saw the moon, people didn't want to get there early or miss it. So they made it an extended day. And, you know, that's why it's also known as the feast that no one knows the day or the hour. You know, very much connected to obviously the Lord's return and the shofar blast and the great trumpet blast. So this is, you know, we're really at a very unique time in history as we get ready to go into the days of awe.
Mm-hmm. You know, George, I want you to expand a little bit with that last thought, because we always say this, that no one knows the day or hour, but yet, with the things that you just stated and the things that are going on, if I read from 1 Thessalonians 5, okay, but you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert. You know, I think there's something to be said there. Yeah, we might not know the exact hour, but we sure know that times are changing and it's getting weird, right? I mean, because if I'm a son of light, if I've given myself to Yahweh, I'm awakened to the idea that something's going on, right? Are you there with us? Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, we lost him. Let's go and see if we can call him back. This will be fun. Whoops. Hey, wake up. Boom, 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 boom. And let's see if we can get him back on.
Hey, we're back. Hey,
there you go, man. I tell you what, That was a quiet moment. That was definitely a wake up moment.
He asked you a question.
Sometimes
and, boy, he stumped you.
Yeah.
So,
hey,
and what was the question? Yeah, go
here
ahead,
it
guys.
Is. Because we always people will say we know not the day or hour, and
right.
That's what you're talking about with the trumpets. But if I look at 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "You brethren,
right.
You're not of darkness." So this
Absolutely.
Wouldn't overtake you. It is not like a thief in the night because you're children of light. And I'm thinking
Amen.
To myself, yeah, this world's crazy, but at least we're
right.
woken up to the idea, and it's not the bad woke. This is the good wake up. And that is we know something's going on. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, I kind of look at it like this, right? You know, when a woman is pregnant, right?
Yeah.
At the 1, 2 month or 3 month mark, you know, no one says anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, you don't want to offend someone, but you can tell when a woman hits the 9 month mark.
Yeah.
You can tell when a woman hits 9 months and she's walking kind of interested, you know, she everything's a balancing act for her, you know, she's got her legs kind of spread, you know, and she's like, you know, wobbling. She's like, you know, and you know, like, we got to get the bag ready. We got to get, you know, all the preparations are made, you know.
Yes.
That's where we are. I mean, we are at that woman giving birth, and she's like that 9 month woman, and you know, it's like any day now, and you got to get your bags packed, and you got to get ready to, you know, take off. And so that's kind of how I look at, you know, we don't, you know, that even though the day, we won't know the day or the hour. We have this expectation of a woman giving birth.
Hmm.
And when we see that and we see this birthing process take place, you know, there's going to be an event that I believe is kind of the, what I call the water breaking moment. And this is something that isn't really discussed, but it talks about in Joel, the early rain and the latter rain. And the latter rain, this water breaking, the Malkosh in Hebrew. So you have the Yared, the early rain, and the Malkosh, the latter rain. If you read that passage of Acts where Peter is going back to Joel and quoting Joel, if you read just a prior couple verses earlier, it's connected to Zion. It's connected to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in 1967, when Israel recaptured Jerusalem, that began what was called the Jesus Movement in the middle of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And at that same time, there was a lot of, you know, from that time is really the call back to our Hebraic understandings. It's a call back. There's like a revival taking place. And while this is taking place, you know, you have the expectation, not only the week coming up, but you also have the expectation of the terrors coming up. So that's why we're seeing so much evil and so much wickedness, is because the two are growing together.
Mm.
So we have to be, you know, we have to realize that we're really at a very unique point in history. We're looking at these events. We're saying to ourselves, where do we fit in? What is our prophetic calling? Because if we don't really have a concept of, you know, the things that are happening in the news should not be freaking us out. You know, there's a verse that Yeshua says. It says, "You shall see wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled." This is my layman's version of it. Okay, you see wars and rumors of wars. Stop freaking out.
Right.
Okay. I mean, just stop freaking out. You know, fear has two meanings. Okay, fear, F-E-A-R. One, forget everything and run. Or face everything and rise.
Right.
And we are at that place where we are not overcome with the spirit of fear, but we're going to face everything. We're going to rise to our calling. We're going to rise to who we are. You know, it's kind of like Daniel when he opened up the book and he saw that Jeremiah said, "We're going to come home after 70 years. His role then became an intercessor. His role was praying repentance in sackcloth, seeing the world around him be transformed, and he actually prayed into his prophetic role. We are at that place in history, if we understand what is taking place and we see the events happening in the news, it shouldn't be like, I can't believe that this is happening in Afghanistan, and get so angry at what's happening. Actually praying and say, Father, in the name of Yeshua, would you touch the kalot in Afghanistan? Would you touch the believers in Afghanistan? Would you empower them? Would you hide them?
Yes.
From the Taliban? Would
yes.
you go ahead and hide them? Would you allow the, would you allow the church to explode in Afghanistan? If we looked at the events happening, instead of getting frustrated with what's not happening or frustrated with the government or frustrated, then that's going to feed the wrong kind of spirit in us. But if we look at the news and make it a point of activation, make it a point of a point of prayer to fulfill our calling as a watchman, saying, okay, this is what's happening in this place, then we need to assert prayer into that. And if we use it in the proper way, we would actually be building the kingdom of God.
George,
like I said, there's go ahead, my friend.
No, I love what you're saying, because in the past we hear the news reports and it shocks us and it almost makes people go into their hole. But once in a while, like what you're saying, like if a tidal wave occurs, if something occurs that wakes us up, all of a sudden people rise up and they face what you're saying and they rise up. And, we were talking about two teachers in California at the first half hour, one of which, well, both of them got fired. One guy was putting an Antifa flag up in his classroom, and he was interviewed and got on video, and he said, I actually try to make revolutionaries out of these kids in 180 days. And then another lady, she had taken down the American flag in her classroom, put up an LGBTQ flag up, and made them all say the Pledge of Allegiance to that. Well, that was the final straw for parents, and parents showed up in the hundreds. I mean, in the hundreds.
Yes, they did.
And they
yes,
said,
they did.
You're gone. So with your news, I mean, because I love the passion that you're talking about and dealing with Joel, but you're always into the news. Are you starting to see people face the anger now and actually do something about it? Are they actually rising up? What do you see?
Well, this is the thing that tends to happen. Why is fear being used? There's a great quote that I memorized. It says, common people will believe anything if they're frightened. But critically thinking people will look for deception and find the truth through the smokescreen of fear.
Wow.
Listen to critical thinkers, not fearful reactors.
Oh.
So what we're trying to do is to create critical thinkers. I try, when I present the news, I'm not trying to tell you what to think. I try to present the news so that it's activating the critical thinking inside of an individual.
Mm.
And so what I believe is happening now, we're at a place where, with the pandemic, I think a lot more people are starting to ask questions because, Israel just gave everyone the third dose, and the minister just announced we got to prepare people for the fourth dose.
Right.
The fourth jab. Right now in Israel, as of September 1st, if you haven't gotten a third jab, you are now considered unvaccinated.
Wow.
Where does this end? Where does this pandemic end? And we have to realize that we are at a place in history where people are going to start asking questions. The main thing for us to do is to activate that critical thinker, and so that critical thinking is in an activation mode so that it can actually see through the smokescreen of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because without fear, then we can go ahead and proceed as we've been called to proceed. So your initial question was, do I see this happening? I really believe that we're seeing a wake-up call that's happening all over the globe. Because what is not being reported and what we have been reporting are the thousands upon thousands of people that are protesting in the streets. I mean, in France, they just went through their eighth weekend of thousands upon thousands of people marching in the streets.
Wow.
The same thing is happening in Italy. Yeah, the eighth straight week. If you go to worthy.watch, we have been posting up videos upon videos. I actually started a Telegram channel. You know, I'm not I really hate social media. Social media is, you know, I have been blacklisted so many different times. It's not even funny. But what I found was that Telegram is actually was made by a Russian that actually is a billionaire that kind of despises Putin. Mm-hmm. And he created it, what WhatsApp used to be. WhatsApp was created by a guy that was behind the Iron Curtain in Czechoslovakia before Facebook bought it. And he wanted to have a way by which people could communicate that couldn't be interfered, it couldn't be watched by the government. That is what Telegram has become. But Telegram is this really unique social media thing where it incorporates Twitter, YouTube, personal messaging, chatting, you can have group chats, all in a completely secured network. So what I have done is actually created a Telegram channel. If you go to t.me, which is Telegram, t.me/worthywatch, you actually go to our Telegram channel, and I'm posting up literally prayer alerts every single second. You know, every time that we see something, we publish it. While we send out this worthy brief and the devotion and slash news that we send out goes out to 25,000 people, and I'm praying that this is activating people when they wake up in the morning and pray through this request. There's a lot of times when we need instantaneous prayer.
Yeah.
A lot of times that are happening, you know, especially the situation happened in Afghanistan, there is one particular region that just collapsed. But if you look at a map of Afghanistan, it's truly the heart of Afghanistan. And the resistance there was fighting the Taliban.
Wow.
This resistance group was actually at a situation where it needed prayer. Why? The Pakistanis have gotten involved in this. And so now you have, you know, the warfare is so much different today than it was, you know, 20 years ago when the same region was fighting the Russians.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have infrared glasses. You have the means by which drones are being used. That's the latest report is that the Pakistanis were using drones to attack this last remnant of this resistance force. Well, as these things were happening, you know, it was happening in live time. It was happening in real time. If we have any hope for the church in Afghanistan, it has to be from this resistance movement that believes in a pluralistic society.
Right.
You know, and so that's what we're praying for, is that the gospel has a means by which that it can spread. The Afghani church was the second fastest growing church in the world before this war broke out. The fastest growing church, most people don't realize, is actually happening in Iran right now. And so I really believe that we're getting ready to see, you know, something happen. We're literally probably weeks away from a war breaking out. Mm-hmm. There was a very bizarre story that came out. It was on let me find the actual article. It was on September 1st. Iran says nuclear talks won't resume for 2 to 3 months. The irony was that the IDF or Benny Gantz said on August 25th, Iran is 2 months away from a nuclear bomb.
Wow.
So they were trying to delay it out until they actually had the bomb. The article we just reported yesterday was the IDF chief says Israel is accelerating Iran strike plans. And it talked about how they just received a huge stipend from the Israeli government. They just got a huge amount of money. That tells you something's in the work. We are now – we have to activate people into praying into that situation.
Wow.
See, I don't believe that God is trying to destroy Iran. God is trying to free Iran. We are now looking at a situation in 1990, I want to say 1994, but I could be wrong on that. But there was basically in the 1990s 120,000 believers. And now reports are there may be as many as 3 million believers in Iran.
You've got to be kidding. Really?
Yeah. It is a massive explosion of the gospel. And so we're looking at a situation whereby God, I believe, is going to answer the prayers of all these saints. And a lot of these saints are sitting in jails. A lot of these saints have been imprisoned. And, you know, if you're in prison, I guarantee you, you're spending a whole lot more time praying than the normal average folk.
Yeah, right. Right?
Right? So now I really believe we could be at a point where God actually uses Israel to fulfill the freedom that I believe God's trying to bring to Iran. So we'll pray into that. But those are the reasons why we have to be active. We have to realize our prophetic calling. You know, we're not called to hide. We're not called to, we're called to face the enemy. Remember, fear has two meanings. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. And so I'm calling people to, we're gonna go ahead and get people to rise to their calling. We're gonna get people to go ahead and say, hey, this is what's happening. I'm not gonna freak out. I'm gonna go ahead and look at these events. I'm gonna pray into them. I'm gonna be like Daniel. I'm gonna be a modern day Daniel. I'm gonna pray into these events with all of my heart, mind, and soul. I'm gonna see God work in this time. And that's building the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So many people get so caught up in the physical, and it's not, there's not really much we can do in this physical world. It's not like we can go ahead and raise an army. It's not like we can go ahead.
Right.
But we are called kings and priests of the Most High God, and we're fighting against principalities and powers. And Yeshua did give us that word. He said, that we shall go ahead and take on serpents and scorpions, and over all power of the enemy, they shall not touch us. And we will go ahead and wage war. That authority has been given to us in Luke. And so, we're going to rise up. I mean, that's my hope. Go ahead.
Yeah. George, you got me really on fire, man. Come on, dude. I mean, it's like.
It's Feast of Trumpets, baby. We got to wake up.
Wake up. I love the analogy that you've given on the wheat and the tares, that we're growing up together, so we're starting to see these two rise. And evil is rising just as quickly as good is rising, and vice versa. But here's my question for you, because we're going to be coming up to a break. And I just wonder out loud, do you see this as being too late for some of the people that are waking up, church-wise, mission-wise, or do you see it as happening? In Noah's day, he kept on telling them, hey, the flood's coming, the flood's coming, the flood's coming, and no one really believed him until the flood came, and then everyone started to pound on the ark and go, let us in, we believe, And so is it too late? Is God doing his own agenda anyways outside of us? Do we go along just for the ride? What is that role? Because you talk about the role and knowing our mission. Is it just prayer, or is it standing up like Elijah facing Ahab, or like John the Baptist taking on Herod and just speaking truth? What does that job look like? Yeah, we can't rise up an army, but what do you advise us to look like, and is it too late?
Okay.
That's a loaded question, isn't it?
So, it's a loaded question, but you have to understand, we are.
Hang on tight, George.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, we're on the break. We'll be right back. Morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and we have a much wiser guy with us. His name is George Witten. He keeps himself in the news, keeps his nose going just about everywhere. You can find him on worthynews.com, right? Or .net?
.com. A couple places, yeah.
Yeah, .com. Yeah. Worthynews.com. And before the break, we'd ask George a big old question. I'm dying to find out, is it too late for those people starting to wake up and realize that, hey, I can make a stand. I can make a difference. Maybe God does want me to do something. Is it too late for those people? And is God bigger than us? I mean, how does this look nowadays? Yeah, right? Yeah, he's definitely bigger, right? So, George, welcome back, and let's see what your thoughts are.
So, no. You like that quit? I'm just kidding. There's a one-word answer. Listen, we're at Rosh Hashanah, right? So we are in the Feast of Trumpets. This is also known as the day when the righteous have their names inscribed in the Book of Life, and when the wicked are judged for their transgressions. It's the day that, according to Jewish tradition, it is to commemorate the creation of the world, the creation of mankind, and the Akedah, or the binding of Isaac to the altar, because it was on this day that instead of Isaac was a ram, and that ram, you know, the ram's horn is blown, the shofar, that's where they, that's why they took it and connected it to Rosh Hashanah, or it's actually better, Yom Teruah. Okay, so that's the history of, or the kind of background of Rosh Hashanah. So until the trumpet blast, no, you can still work. Now, we also have to come to a realization that Yom Kippur, right, or the day of coverings, right, either you're covered by the blood of Yeshua or you're not covered.
Wow.
In Revelation 6, it talks about the rich and all the mighty men, they were hiding in the clefts of the rock to cover from the wrath of the Lamb. Well, what happened was they didn't have a covering. That's kind of the separation. But the very last service of Yom Kippur is called Ne'ilah, which means to, literally means to lock, or when the doors of heaven are locked. That's the symbology. And until, you know, until that door is slammed shut, you know, that's the point that by which you, no man can work. You know, this is kind of illustrative in the parable of the virgins in Matthew 25. Mm-hmm. You know, you had 10 virgins. They're all expecting a bridegroom. So that is not talking about atheists. It's not talking about Buddhists. It's talking about people that have at least a concept that the bridegroom is coming. Five were prepared. Five were not prepared. And then, you know, it concludes at the end where it talks about in Matthew 25:10, and they were going to buy, and the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went out to him and into the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And the other virgins came, saying, "Lord, open to us." And he said, "I do not know you. Therefore, you do not know neither the day or the hour." So that until that door is shut, no, we all can work. And you know, very often it's the end of our lives that are the most significant. I mean, Abraham doesn't get his call to go to Israel till he's 80.
Right.
You know, Moses doesn't get his call till he's 80. So, you know, I have a feeling that's a picture that the last half of our race should be stronger than the first half of our race. And actually the last third of our race should be stronger than the first two-thirds of our race. And so here we are, we're running this race. We're in this marathon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people get very, you know, set back, and they think to themselves, "I haven't done it." Well, think of it this way. God has set you in this place at this time for this season for such a time as this. And in a relay race, you know, baton has been passed from generation to generation. The ones that in a true relay race, the strongest runner is the last runner. And he's called the anchor leg.
Oh, yeah.
God actually saw fit for us to be alive in this generation. He saw fit for every believer to listen to this message that you're part of this anchor leg. You're part of this leg that's supposed to finish out this race. We're not called to cower. We're called to go forward. We're called to rise to our calling. We're called to finish the race strong. So does that answer your question?
Probably more than not. Answers my question. He's got more answers.
Oh,
more
dude.
Questions now.
Because because what you just said to us goes back to your acronym of fear.
That's it.
You know,
acronym of fear.
And
so did you forget it already?
Fear everything and rise.
No.
Forget everything and run. Or. And rise. Face everything and rise. Roland, you failed the test. I mean, you know. It's okay. We will give you a pop quiz. I'll send you a text over the week. I'll give you a pop quiz whether or not you remembered or not.
Do that once a week, too, George.
Hey, all I know is I got you riled up, and I love you when you're riled up, man.
Oh, man. Be careful now. Careful. I haven't even got my Bible out yet.
Did you rile him up or woke him up?
Woke him up.
Oh, man. Well, I got to tell you, this woke culture is stirred up people if it hasn't stirred up people enough. And, you know, but the thing is, I'm praying that people get refocused on really what we should be woke about. You know, we should be awakened to the call that we have. You know, there's really not too much that we can do, you know, physically in this world looking at the events, but there's a whole lot we can do spiritually. You know, so, we are kings and priests.
We've been talking about what we want to do, where we want to go, but I know you have your feet to the ground. And what are you actually seeing in fellowship in churches. You know, you've motivated us in saying, you know, this is where we need to be. Where are we?
Okay. So what I've seen as I'm speaking across the country is actually hit and miss, what I call hit and miss sort of situations. There's some situations I'm walking into where I'm stirring up something, and I'm stirring up an awakening. There's other places that were already started the awakening, and when I've gone in, have gone into full-blown revival. Just about 3 weeks ago, I was speaking in Damascus, Maryland. And when I got there, it was kind of a strange meeting because I got there a little late, and I kind of ran up on stage. It was a traffic situation. I ran up on stage, and I gave this message, about out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Uh-huh.
And I'm concluding this message. Well, it was an outdoor situation because of the way that Maryland is with their indoor seating. And they actually were filling a big steel trough. And they were filling water. As I'm giving this message, all of a sudden the water starts overflowing.
Wow.
At the exact same moment, and we had to run and turn off the hose, and it was kind of a strange situation. And I continued, and the Lord gave me this, do not give this message, give this other message.
Yeah.
Well, I gave this message. There must have been about 30 or 40 young people running up to get baptized. I mean, it was a move of God that was really spectacular, and all these people were praying to get filled in the Spirit, and it was just like one of these really cool meetings, and I just was like, wow, God is moving. So I think what we're seeing now, as I've been going across the U.S., I was just in New Jersey last week before they got flooded.
And you got out?
I got out, yeah. Well, the crazy thing, we were at Jonathan Kahn, so we were doing an event there, but then shortly thereafter went to another Messianic congregation, and we just stayed, and we had this fellowship, and we just went into, like, my wife can just break open heaven, and the glory can just come down. That's just the way it is. We just did, and we did this as impromptu concert, like, you know, impromptu worship set. And it was like so many strongholds that were broken and so many people. And it wasn't even planned. That's the crazy thing about it. And the rabbi's wife came up to me and actually has called us back saying, there's been a breakthrough in our congregation. There's something really happening now. She just thanked us for, you know, coming and seeing them. And she wanted to know when we could come back again. So I was like, well, you know, we're getting ready to go to Florida. I'm going to enjoy the freedom of Florida. Now, hey, real quick, guys, are you guys still roasting up there, like roasting marshmallows with all these fires? I haven't really heard so much about the Oregon fires. I know that California still has their issues, but is it still in Oregon where you guys are?
Yeah, a little bit. There's a couple that are still going. The whole eastern state has, you know, major smoke in the area, but they're mostly under control, but they're still burning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Has that been going on for a month?
Well, it's been going on for 3 years, basically.
Oh, okay.
We have Kate Brown, which allowed the gorge to go on fire about 3 years ago. And then last year, she let the fires go to crazy here. And there we got it again. We don't clear up the underbrush. We don't allow the forestry guys to do their jobs. And so we got problems.
Wow. Well, yeah. I did see that the mayor of Portland decided to boycott Texas.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, Texas don't care. Texas don't care. Go ahead and boycott it. You, they're probably saying, you need us. We don't need you.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. You guys are living in a very interesting state. Not one state that I'm looking forward to returning to. But when I do, I'm sure I'll stir up the gates of hell a little bit. It'll be good.
Well, then you need to come back sooner.
You know, George.
Well,
I am hoping that maybe you can inspire some people here to actually nurture the gifts that God's given them. You know, one of the things that you had quickly mentioned said, hey, this thing happened at this event. We didn't even prepare. But in actuality, you prepare. I mean, your wife memorizes the songs. She's practiced over years. You look at news.
But here's what happened.
Yeah.
Ready? At this event, we didn't do tracks. There was a musician there, and he actually never played any of these songs. He was just very gifted to just play as my wife gave him music. I mean, it was completely impromptu. There was no rehearsal. There was no practice. It was just freedom and worship. I mean, it really was. And I have to tell you, when it's like that, generally speaking, that's when things happen. When there is no time, there is no restrictions, there is just, you know, freedom. You know, we never know. You know, we're supposed to be like windmills. Yeah. You know, windmill, you know, is adjusting to where the wind is coming from. And as it adjusts, is the wind is causing that windmill to spin. We should be like that. We should be, you know, adjusting to how the Spirit of God is leading us and allow, you know, redirecting us to the perfect, you know, kind of angle so that the wind can flow through us and really wake up the world around us. We are living in this day now where the Spirit is just saying, hey, I'm getting ready to do something. Get ready to reap in a harvest, because I'm going to put people in such a position that they have to realize that I'm alive and well, and I'm here to save them. I'm here to rescue them. I'm here to reveal my son to them. And, you know, if we can really seize that opportunity, I really believe we're going to see so many people coming into the kingdom. And, you know, we were born for this hour. I mean, that's an incredible thing. I mean, you know, God saw us that, you know, I think that the apostles would love to be where we are right now.
Wow.
I have to tell you, I really do believe they would be wanting to switch places with us, because they're seeing a harvest. You know, look, in Yeshua's day, there may have been 100 million, 200 million people. We're approaching 7.7 billion people.
Right.
I mean, we got a lot more fish to catch.
So, George, what do you pray for? I mean, give an example to those that are listening, like before you leave or before you go into somewhere or before you speak to someone, is there a specific way that you approach the Lord in the morning or before going out?
So look, I just pray for everyone now. So Abba Father, we just come in the name of Yeshua. Father, every person that is listening to this, Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would open up hearts to receive, to understand, to hear your voice. I ask you, Father, that you would pour out a fresh anointing upon all those that are hearing this word, hearing this message. I ask you, Father, that you would remove all spirit of fear. And that you would replace it with a spirit of boldness, a spirit of fierceness to go forward and to accomplish their calling as prophetic warriors in this day and this hour, that you would give them a revelation of that are kings and priests of the Most High God. And Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would give me clarity in delivering this message. I ask you, Lord, that you give me an anointing to deliver this word so that it can be received in Yeshua's name. That's kind of a little snippet.
Amen.
But
it's real.
But we have to get to, it's real.
It's real.
We're at a place, now where the Spirit of God is trying to empower us like we've never been empowered before. You know, I read a great book by Charles Finney and he wrote it in the 1800s, and he didn't talk about the baptism, he talked about the baptisms. That there are times in your life where you feel depleted, that you have to actually separate yourself from God or separate yourself from the world and reconnect with God and be filled fresh and anew. And if you think about the analogy like a balloon, you know, the first time you blow up a balloon, you know, it's real tight, you know, and you blow it can only go so big before it pops. Well, you blow it up, you let it go, and it kind of goes all over the place. It smacks people in the head, you know. But then when you blow it up again, it can blow up a little bigger.
Yeah.
And then when you let it go, you know, it goes around and then all of a sudden it pops down. You blow it up again, it gets a little bigger. I think that's what happens in our life. There are times when we feel spiritually depleted, spiritually drained. That's what Shabbat is for. Shabbat is for us to reconnect, to refill up again for the week. And hopefully each Shabbat, we're filling up just a little more. So we can go through the week, and then by the time Shabbat comes, we're worn out. Lord, I need a fresh refill. Give me a fresh refill. Boom. You know, and then we go for it again.
Yeah.
And that's the cycle we're in. And so, you know, hopefully we continue to just continue to press on, press through. You know, look, obstacles are made to be in front of us to overcome. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't look at it as obstacles. I look at it as a challenge to strengthen us and to encourage us.
George, speaking of a balloon, this is a disciple that was pretty much of a balloon when he first got started, but he kept on getting better and better. So I'm reading from Peter. I'm reading from Peter, and I just want you to respond to this because he's saying, I believe what you've just told us. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through the Messiah, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's in 1 Peter 4. This is what you're telling us, right?
That's what I'm telling you. Of course, Peter did a much better job of delivering that message than I ever could.
I just like the balloon. You know?
Well, you know, the balloon works. You know, when my son was very young, we had a big party in Israel. We were in Beersheba, and we had a lot of balloons. And I blew up one balloon and let it fly. And I think that every kid at the party wanted to do the same thing. So all of a sudden, there must have been about 40 balloons flying, and man, they were hitting people in the face. They were flying around. It was like a balloon food fight.
What?
And I think if we as the body got like that, and we had just a bunch of people that were filling up and letting go and letting this work, I think the world wouldn't know what to do with us.
So you're saying we need to have fun.
You know what, George?
We need to have a little bit of fun. Praise God.
I think before we go up to the Feast of Trumpets here today, I'm going to stop by the store. We're going to pick up some balloons. How's that?
That'd be a good idea. Hey, I've inspired a balloon food fight. I mean, balloon fight. Oh,
George,
man, awesome.
We only have a few more minutes. Give us a recap on a summary on our wisdom of what you would tell people right now. I know we've covered a lot of stuff, but people are facing this thing. They're terribly afraid. They've hidden or they've risen. What are you going to tell the body? Just summarize that up.
Do not fear. Do not fear. You're not going to be one of those people that says, forget everything and run. You're going to be one of those that says, I'm going to face everything and I'm going to rise. And we're going to rise to who we are. We're kings and priests of the Most High God. We are not called to cower. We didn't give any armor in our back. That's because God is our rear guard. We're supposed to face everything face in front of us. And we're called to stand and to occupy. Occupy is a military term that we go ahead and we hold ground. We go ahead and hold our position, and we go ahead and proclaim the king is coming. That's what Rosh Hashanah, that's what Yom Teruah is about. Blasting the shofar, announcing to the world the king is coming. We're almost home. It's not, you know, the end of our race should not be our weakest. It should be our strongest. It should be the time that we actually come to really fully understanding what we're called to do in this lifetime. Amen.
Amen.
That's good enough for you.
George, it's fabulous. Okay, so now tell everyone how they can reach you and your websites and what you offer.
Okay, so if they want to get the news on a daily basis, go to worthynews.com. There's another separate site that isn't so much news-related, but it's a place that puts up a lot of clips. It's worthy.watch.com. I mean, worthy.watch, sorry, new.com, just worthy.watch. And then I'm imploring everyone to get on Telegram. Telegram is the social media that is not censored, that you'll get real information, real news. And if you go to Telegram, you can download the app, and you find us at Worthy Watch. And that's where we're updating literally throughout the day. And we're waking people up, and it's literally – as soon as you get a Telegram, a notice, you look it up, boom, time to pray. Okay, this is what I need to pray into. This is what I need to pray into. Hopefully – by the time it's all said and done, we have thousands of people that are getting alerts and instantaneous prayer, instantaneous, you know. Can you imagine if all of a sudden, you know, you have 20,000 people that get an alert right instant, you know, about this situation in Israel or this situation happening in Iran, and all of a sudden there's an unleashing of prayer, an unleashing of power. That's building the kingdom of God. That is taking on the enemy, and not only taking on the enemy, but literally pushing him back. And that's who we are. We're not called to cower. You know, we're called to really, hey, let's take it to them in the spiritual realm. Let's go ahead and win. The battle is already won for us in the spiritual realm. You know, people so often get caught with eyes looking at the natural. That's why the children of Israel kept failing.
Mm-hmm.
Is because they kept looking at the natural. You know, like Peter, he takes a huge leap of faith, gets out of the boat. He's walking. He's okay in the storm while he's looking at Yeshua. He takes his eyes off. He's looking at the craziness around. He sinks.
Mm-hmm.
It is time. You know, we got to get our eyes refocused on the Messiah, refocused on the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that has empowered us by his Spirit to do things that we never thought we could ever do in this day and age. And so we rise up to that. Yes.
I am focusing on something right now. And this is the vision that I have. I'm thinking about a George Whitten podcast on Hebrew Nation Radio. His wife sings a few songs. And then George goes in and speaks to us for about, you know, 30 minutes. It's a wonderful scene. I mean, I can see it right now.
I can see it, too. The problem is time.
I know.
By the time I finish the news and by the time this week, you know, coming up on the feast here, I think I'm speaking 13 out of the next 20 days.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm speaking a lot. I'm driving and that's not including the drive time between places. I'm not including updating the different sites. I just had to find time.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully we return back to Israel sometime.
Yeah, right.
When we get back to Israel. It actually gets to it's a normal schedule for me. Right now, it's like I'm burning the candle on both ends and I'm just, you know, it is what it is. But praise God that we can burn the candles. Praise God we can burn the candles both ends, you know. Praise
Amen.
God that we're alive and we can transform the world around us.
Thank you for coming on with us today, George. Be super blessed. George. May Yahweh bless you.
Be blessed.
Thank you.